Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
Turning your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. Thank you, Father, for your word. Your word is eternal. It's living and powerful. And your word is the solution for our lives. And thank you that, Holy Spirit, you take this word and make it known, make it revelation for us today. I pray this word will fall on hearing ears, not deaf ears, hearing ears. We just speak openness to receiving your word today, personally, and that you, Lord, will be able to fulfill what you have for our lives and for us as a church. Thank you, we're living in days of signs and wonders. Thank you that you have defined us to be a gatekeeper church for the supernatural, that we are in every dimension called to release the power of God in this generation. And so, Father, we ask for your grace upon us as we receive your word today. May it make a difference, and may you be glorified through the fruit that this word brings. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's read from verse 2 to 6, chapter 11 of Matthew. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one that was to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied and said, "Go back and report to John what you see and hear. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised. And the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." John the Baptist had an incredible ministry. If you read in the beginning of Matthew or in the beginning of Luke's Gospel, I think it is in, you read about how John was the forerunner of the Messiah. And how Jesus actually said that John the Baptist was the most and the greatest prophet in terms of the Old Testament prophets. He was the last prophet before Christ, the Messiah. And he was heralding, as every prophet beforehand did, that there is one coming who will save us from our sins. And so John the Baptist had the greatest ministry given until that time. He was, therefore, a very important man in the purpose of God. You could say his ministry was national. His ministry was a ministry actually that called people to repentance, to turn away from sin and ask God for a fresh baptism of forgiveness. He couldn't cleanse from sin because only Jesus can do that. But he did call for a heart turning of the nation of Israel, God's people, back to God. And actually, that was a very successful ministry. He was out in the wilderness. There weren't a kind of a Hillsong kind of room to meet in where everything's professional. He was out in a difficult place preaching. And in this difficult place, God anointed him with power to turn hearts back to God. Also, the fame really of John the Baptist is in the moments when Jesus comes to him to be baptized, to begin his earthly ministry of healing and preaching good news to the poor and finally going to the cross to die for the sins of the world. And as Jesus is approaching John the Baptist at the Jordan, he sees Jesus, but he sees the Lamb of God. He sees this is God's sacrifice. This is the one whom God has chosen to pay for the sins of the world. Everybody else saw Jesus naturally as just another bloke that was coming to John. But this was, as John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world." mean, what a tremendous revelation he had of Jesus. Nobody told him that. Only God had told him that. He had seen by revelation. He had been used greatly of God. And he is now in the most surprising situation. He's in prison. This is the greatest ministry until Jesus came. He's in prison, locked up in a place he doesn't want to be. In prison, you're confined. And particularly in the prisons of those days, you suffered a lot. It was a bad place to be. Now, a lot of people are in prison today. But the prison that they're in is actually because of what they've done. They went to prison because they sinned. They did something against somebody and the law punished them and put them into prison. So John is in prison with offenders, you could say. With people who were paying the price for what they'd done. But John was not paying a price for what he'd done because he'd done nothing wrong. He was paying the price of preaching the uncompromising truth. So John is, we need to just get this right at the beginning. John's in prison. He's in a bad situation for doing the right thing. Now, as Christians, we can get into bad situations because we have personally sinned. Hello? And so I'm not going to preach about that today because that's another preach. But John the Baptist is in a position, a place of confinement, of difficulty, because he did the right thing, because he actually obeyed God. Now, he would have known that Herod was a nasty guy. Herod didn't like John telling him the truth. He got offended, actually, with John. But actually, he was offended with the word that John was bringing. And Herod threw him into prison, and he was a nasty ruler. And John the Baptist knew that possibly he would die as a result of preaching the truth. Now, this isn't what we would seemingly call the great and victorious life of a man of God. The current picture is looking a little bit challenging to people of faith. Would you agree? Because we believe that Jesus came to get people out of prison, not put them in. Do we? Jesus is not into putting people in prison and killing them. His ministry was to liberate mankind and save them. So Jesus hasn't done this, but John's anxious. He's doubting. And so he asks a question. And I think this is incredible from a man whose ministry has been national. And actually, we've actually benefited from his ministry ever since. He asks a question and he says, "Are you the Messiah or is there another?" Now, what's that coming out of, that question? It's coming out of a pressure pot situation, where he's starting to doubt, to feel anxious. He might even be slightly discouraged for the way things have turned out. So he's thinking about his time in there, going, "Well, I served God. I'm in a bad place. Is this really God?" But I believe this is a message, a word in season for you today. That bad things have happened, but I did the right thing. And now I'm beginning to doubt, is this really God? Doubt is coming crashing in. So he asked the question. And Jesus sent word. It's funny he didn't visit him. He just sent his word. And he said, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the signs are proof that I'm the Messiah. And today, the signs are proof that Jesus is alive. People are being healed. People are being set free from fear, from demons. God is liberating people. And so Jesus said, the signs actually show that I am the Messiah. But then he says, particularly to John, he said, blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Or blessed is the one that doesn't turn away because of me. John would have been asking the same questions you and I ask in difficult times. If God is with me, why is this happening to me? Has anybody ever asked that question? If God is with me, why is this happening to me? It's not fair. It's not justice. It's not right. I've served him. I've pleased him. But I haven't seen what God said happen for me. These are big, big, big questions which must be answered with truth today. Where are the miracles for me? It's all very well, the miracles are outside the prison doors currently. But in my life, my situation, I can't see a miracle. Where are the promises, the things that I expected to happen? It's the same old Gideon's if, why, where. If, why, where. And whenever you get an if, why, where, be careful how you answer the if, why, where. Because the answer will either bring you into God's power and purpose for your life, or lead you away from God. And so this is a message to help you deal with difficult circumstances and be moved towards the power of God to deliver you rather than moved away from God. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. Blessed means happy to be envied. So Jesus sends word to this great man of God in prison and he says, I want you to be happy and enviable. Oh, I don't really like that word. Because I'm not happy. I don't like the situation I'm in. I'm finding it restricting. I'm finding this difficult. But Jesus said, actually the key to living happy and being blessed is the one whose attitude stays pure. Who doesn't take offense at what's happening to them. This is the biggest cause for people to leave churches, to leave the Lord. And we've all been offended at some time, some point about our situation. And God did a number on me this week. And dealt with my own heart about how I am and have approached some circumstances. And I believe God does a number on us to bless us. But we need to understand that this message is so important to release us from the negativity of the situation we're in. I believe the release comes first from prison in your own heart. And then it comes in your circumstances. And so if your heart can be freed first, then the power comes for your circumstances. But if your heart stays full of offense, there's no power to be free. That's good, isn't it? The first question when we are in confinement or difficulty or something happens that we didn't deserve. Somebody says something. I mean, I'm finding this season hilarious. Fortunately, I'm finding it hilarious. There's some great things that are going on. Phenomenal things in as a church. But we went for a meeting yesterday. We're walking through town. This guy walks up to us, and he's actually visited the church a few times, but didn't want to belong to any church. So not quite biblical, because you're called to be a member of a body locally. But, you know, I never spoke to him personally. But obviously he was offended with me. I'd never spoken to this guy. So I, big beaming smile, recognize the face, walking across Morrison's Bridge. Hi. How are you? I wasn't going to stop. I wasn't going to offend him by stopping. But I offended him by saying hi. He growled at me and walked on. Pastor Andrea said, what on earth have you done to him? I said, I don't know. Nothing. I've done absolutely nothing to deserve that. He perhaps just didn't like the word. And it's amazing how many people are offended with me. Moi! Because I preach the uncompromising word of God. And so John the Baptist, he's in prison. We can be kind of attacked, persecuted, treated badly. I think the people, the precious saints in this room who are from another culture, deal with so much opposition because of who you are in your skin. I think it's a disgrace that we live in a culture where there is still such prejudice. But we are one in Christ here, equal in Jesus. But there's a lot of stuff that goes on that puts people into difficult situations. And Jesus actually says the blessing will come into your life when you do not take offense. When you walk on, carry on over that bridge and laugh. And bless your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. The first question and the first situation that happens when we're in difficult situations is that we ask the wrong question, is this God? Did God put me here? The answer for John the Baptist is God definitely did not put you there. Because God is good. How do we answer this, God didn't put me in this? And remember, sometimes we're in some situations because we did it. It's a law of reaping and of what we've sown. Hello? Okay, so if I came up to Annette this morning and slapped her hard on the face, and she said, look what God did to me. What would you say? It wasn't God, it was her. But very quickly, we go back to saying, look what God did. And we have to understand that there are other things in operation. One of those things is, I believe, is a real gift from God. And that is the free will that each one of us in this room and every human being is given. We have freedom of choice. So I can slap you if I want to. I might not get something good back because I'll reap what I sow. Although if you're really spiritual, you'll bless me. But we have the will of man in operation. Now, Herod was a nasty king, nasty ruler. And he wanted to shut down John's voice. He wanted to shut down the truth. And he saw that John was the vehicle through which truth came. Have you ever been shut down because of truth? I have been on many occasions. And I trust, because I'm going to carry on in preaching the word, I will continue to be. Because you're not persecuted if you agree with the world. Amen. Trouble comes into our lives because of the word, Jesus said. It attracts persecution Did you know you're attractive to persecution? Rejoice, Jesus says. You're blessed. What an attitude shift we need. So there's the will of God, there's the will of man, but also there's the power of Satan at work. Jesus said Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So actually, Satan's plan is to use Herod to kill, steal, and destroy. And so to blame God for what Satan and man is doing is not right. And so to blame God for your situation, it's never right. 1, 2, 3, again. To blame the Lord, who is always good and has given his life to save you, will he not also give all things to bless your life? To blame this God, Jesus, is absolute stupidity. And so we have to know that God is never, ever, ever the problem. He's only ever the God who loves you, cares for you, and wants to bless your life. There are people who make whole doctrines out of how sometimes God leaves good people in prison and kills them. And that doctrine is a doctrine of unbelief. And if you build your life on unbelief, you're going to fall every time. But if you build your life on the truth, not your experience, don't make your experience question the word. Because that's what the devil does. Did God really say? Is God really good? That's the work of the enemy. Thank you, Jesus. This is turning out to be a good message. Because I believe it's shifting things in your life and in our lives together, because we are here for signs and wonders. But we cannot come out of the things we're in unless we have the right heart towards what's going on. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. He's not double-minded. He doesn't have one will for heaven and another for earth. He says, as it is in heaven, let it be on earth. He's not wondering what to do next. I have plans for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. You live in a world where there is conflict with people's will and Satan. But I have given you the victory in Christ, and you will overcome by faith. Don't add your opinion to the word when things don't turn out as we thought. Because that's where Christians go wrong. They don't just say, well, God is good. I don't know why John's in prison, but God is good. Don't be the solution, answer every solution and every problem because you can't. But just say, I know what the word says. Thank you, Jesus. I know what God says, and God is faithful, and he will do it. I think the greatest danger to John's life was offense, not prison or Herod. And I believe the greatest danger to our lives as we walk with God, for the purpose of God for this generation, is not to be an offense with God or anybody else or with one another. How many of you are hearing the word today? Thank you, Jesus. This will get you out into the power of God, as it did me this week. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't realize I was so fed up with some people. And you're not here before you take offense. Or you take offense on who you think that might be. Don't take offense. Because I just let go of mine. Don't you take on, I bet she meant that person. Let's stop the ooh, 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 ooh. And let's walk with a pure heart. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. It is for freedom. Christ has set us free. If you haven't seen the promise happen, you haven't seen the complete healing, you haven't seen what you'd hoped, it's a difficult time when that happens. It's not easy. But you can live free from offense, and then God begins to work in your life. There's all of us in this room have had tension between our circumstances and the promise. God says, I'm healed. I am not healed in my body. What am I going to live with? The tension is there at that point. And siding with truth releases the power of God. Siding with sickness releases more sickness. If you start to moan, you'll get more depressed. It's amazing. You feed the flesh, it increases. The moaning, groaning, complaining, you begin to get into a pit. You'll take yourself. I've seen some people start there, and I'm not preaching this over your life, but it is a caution, and end up in a mental hospital. You can moan your way there because you will reap what you sow. It's a spiritual law. But we can be forgiven from moaning and complaining. And we can be forgiven from being in offense. Thank you, Jesus. And liberated into the power of God. Jesus said, blessed is he who is not offended because of me. To be offended means a stumbling block. And before I came out this morning, I thought, well, a stumbling block is something that somebody puts in, you don't know it's there. Otherwise, you would walk over it, wouldn't you? If you knew it was there, you'd go, whoops, I'll just avoid that. But a stumbling block is something that you actually can't see is there. Offense is like something you can't see as a problem. And actually trips up. So imagine me, I'm not going to do it because I know you'd love it. And I know how much you'd laugh if I fell on my face. But if I literally stumbled and fell right now, that would be the fruit of offense in my life. And I was thinking this morning, I began to just have a bit of a laugh. I said, Lord, just imagine a whole church, a whole army, all here to possess the land, to see victory, to see signs and wonders in this generation, all with offense. So they get up dressed, ready for battle, quoting the scriptures, declaring God is good. We're a gatekeeper church. Hallelujah. Ha, ha, let's go. Take the nation for Jesus. Boom. I mean, imagine every day, boom, flat on your face, back up, boom, flat on your face, back on. We're going to take the nation. Great message about victory, heal it, boom. My Christian doesn't like, life doesn't work, bang. It just doesn't work for me, bang. Why? Maybe there's something you can't see. And maybe it's offense. Because offense actually creates problems for you. Why does the Bible say keep your heart with all diligence? Because out of it flow the issues of life. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're the dwelling place of God. His Spirit lives in our spirit. We are, as every believer is, a gatekeeper for the supernatural. We are releasers for the power of God. But imagine if we don't keep our hearts, our attitudes go wrong. Then there is a block to this precious life that the world needs. People need what you've got. You fearless man or woman of courage. They need the anointing that's on your life. They need you to walk with Jesus. They need you to forgive your brother. They need you to walk honorably in every dimension of your life. Because this anointing is to save the world. And if there is a block to the anointing of offense, then that is the problem. Don't be offended. Don't blame others. That's one kind of little outworking of offense, is blame. Blame shifting. I'm blaming my parents. I'm blaming my wife, my husband. I'm blaming my situation. I'm blaming my children. I've heard parents blame their children for their situation. Children are a gift from the Lord, not a problem. Can I just say that again? Children are a gift from the Lord. What a powerful thing to say. And not a problem. Thank you. We love children because they're a gift. Don't be angry. Don't let, you know, sometimes I'll find I get unusually angry over the smallest things. Is anybody there? And for me, it's a test as actually really what's going on in my heart to make me angry. And normally I have to go back to, I obviously need a bit more mercy and grace, Jesus, because I've done something wrong. Because I know if I've got a short fuse, something's wrong with my heart. And so in his light, I see. So he shows me, you got a problem with that. Oh, sorry, Lord, I choose to forgive, or I'm sorry, I sinned. I put it right. The hairdresser. Oh gosh, I was so mad this week. I was really mad. I went to the hairdresser, not my normal one, because I couldn't. I just needed a very quick hair appointment. And I came out, and she'd done me a hairdo. Look, please don't, I'm not going to tell you what it's like. Somebody might take offense, but it might be your favorite do. But what I don't want is like a big, like, American bob. Do you know what I mean? Like, comes right out here, up like this, curled under. And I came out there and I was like, you tell the hairdressers, you pay for it. You pay to have a hairdresser. And they ask, what do you want? So you tell them what you want, and then you don't get it. And you pay for not getting what you want. So I come home and I'm walking up and down. Sandra, bless her, came in and left quickly. I was like blowing a fuse. I was like, what is it with people that don't do? And I realized, why am I so mad? Lord, I'm really sorry. God bless the hairdresser. I'll never go again, but God bless the hairdresser. But these fits of the flesh show you there's something wrong with you. Not with everybody else. Who's, Jesus said, out of the heart flow the issues of life. Or out of the heart proceed. Murder, anger, adultery. It all comes out of the inside. It comes out of your heart. So what we need is a purification of the heart. So I had to sort myself again. Aren't you glad he likes us coming back again to say sorry? I get fed up with myself because it's so many times. But he's gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. So if you got mad with your hairdresser this week, bless them. See, joy and peace don't work with offense. You can't be happy and have offense. That's what Jesus said. Blessed is he, happy is he, who is not offended. I want to be happy, do you? Even if I end up in prison with my head chopped off, I want to end up happy. I'll go happy. You're not as convinced as me. But for heaven's sake, let's live happy. Shall we? Because we can, if we get rid of offense. Thank you, Jesus. See, attitudes are like magnets. This is what the Lord told me this week when he was dealing with me, and I was dealing with a hairdresser and a few other things. And he said, attitudes are like magnets. A magnet is an attractive force. It pulls in things into your life. Attitudes pull things in. Now, a wrong attitude can pull the wrong thing in, because like attracts like. It does. It pulls in the wrong thing. And if I'm negative or critical or just not quite forgiven somebody, then what can come in is something negative back. Actually, where you find jealousy, ambition, all kinds of poor me syndromes, you usually find a lot of demonic activity. Because it doesn't attract the Holy Spirit. But the enemy gets in on negativity and begins to work against. But on the other side, a positive attitude attracts the Holy Spirit. I know which magnet I want. I want my heart to attract the supernatural power of God. I don't want offense to stop what God wants to do and to release really what the enemy wants to do. Offense pulls in all kinds of negative things. That's why Jesus said, bless your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. And not pray, kill them, Lord. Like the disciples did, call down fire, let's kill them. We're not in the age of judgment. We're in the age of grace, even on our enemies. Whoa, what a radical gospel we have. This is radical. Not even blessing those who are good to us, blessing those who are bad. Pray for those who persecute you. And refuse to believe that God put you in this. That God is good all the time, has only good for me. And refuse to be offended with others. Praise God for His light to see what the problem is. Because without this, we cannot move forward into the power of God. Let's look at Acts chapter 16 and finish with this. Thank you, Jesus. Acts chapter 16. Now, Silas and Paul, you know it, probably have been doing the will of God, preaching the gospel and obeying God. And there are many people in this room who are living the same, doing the same, obeying God, preaching the gospel in a vision that God has given them to reach the world. And they, Paul's followed by this very annoying girl who is actually demonized. And after a little while, he recognizes or sees in the spirit realm and actually deals with it as it should be dealt with, because it's a demon. So he commands the demon out. This girl was actually providing a lot of income for the town, the city. And so they didn't like it because actually it touched their pockets. Suddenly this girl had kind of lost the ability to predict, powerless because the Lord's power had delivered her from evil. And Paul and Silas are dragged into the marketplace, judged to be guilty. In verse 22 of chapter 16, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. The magistrate ordered them to be stripped and beaten. And after they'd been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison. The jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell, fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. The other prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. All at once, the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, saw the prison doors opened. He drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. Paul said, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." And basically the jailer got saved and his whole household. And this was an amazing, powerful explosion of the kingdom of heaven. So Paul and Silas are in prison for doing right. And not only are they in prison, they've been severely beaten. So they are in pain. Now, pain can take a lot of different forms. It can take physical pain. You can have emotional pain. There's even a mental pain that I believe affects your body. You can be in pain because of how you've been treated. You can be in prison because of how you've been treated. But Paul didn't say judgment on you. Because every other prisoner had cursed. Because that's what people full of sin do. He began to bless God, pray, and sing whilst in pain. See, Christians have a hard time with this. They say, because I don't feel like praising him. Why should I? I'm being a hypocrite. Well, you're not being a hypocrite because to praise God is a thing of faith and because he's worthy, not a thing of your feelings. It's a matter of choice, not of feeling. Sometimes I sense a bit of a quietness over the congregation. There was a bit of quietness over the praising this morning. And I realize, not from the band, but from singing. And I realize actually, there's always a breakthrough when we praise the Lord. I said there's always a breakthrough when we praise him and we pray. Now, how do we know this wasn't just in their hearts and in their minds, internalizing it? Because the prisoners heard. The prisoners heard Paul and Silas, they're in stocks, they're in pain, and they hear these guys praising God. Not saying, "God, where are you? Why did this happen? What are you doing about my condition?" Not saying, "I curse the people that put me in here." Their attitude is being like a magnet. And what kind of magnet do they get? They actually get a jailbreaking power. Fancy a jailbreaking power? Well, it'll happen when you loudly praise the Lord and pray out loud. I actually believe one of the strategies of the enemy to stop the anointing being released through your life of breakthrough, because the anointing breaks the yoke. So if I begin to say, "Father, I praise you. I feel a lot of pain at the moment, but I still praise you. People have hurt me. They've talked against me. They've rejected me. They've actually attacked my life. But I praise you in all things, at all times, in every disappointment. I will praise my God. You are worthy of the highest praise. In every season of my life, good times, bad times, difficult times, times of lack, times of sickness, times of whatever, I will praise you, Lord. I will praise so that people hear, the devil hears, and God hears. And God answers from heaven with a power that breaks the bonds, the chains that have put me in this place. I get set free so that the jailer gets saved and they take care of my wounds. I believe there's an anointing, a joy from the lost that heals us, that we don't know about yet. Winning the world will bring a healing into your life. Next weekend, get people getting saved. It does something to us, doesn't it, guys? We love it when somebody comes out of darkness and gives their lives to Jesus. But the key here is that Paul and Silas, maybe they had to deal with offense because it was midnight when they, it says, at midnight they were praying. Maybe they sat there and went, feel a bit grumpy. What are we doing in this place? This isn't good. Lydia got saved. Her whole house got saved. We got that woman delivered. That's what Jesus wants us to do. And look what happened to us. Paul says, because Silas is the needs a bit of help at the moment. He says, listen, God is good. And I'm used to this. It's something, it's par for the course. Because you're going to stand for Jesus and be all out there for the gospel, to see the power of signs and wonders and the true Jesus revealed in this generation. You're going to pay for it. But God will get us out. Because he's got a plan. And even though we at times might need to suffer for the gospel, because that's biblical. Sorry to say that. But it's true. We have been counted worthy to suffer for his name. It's part. We don't suffer for sin. We don't suffer with sickness. But we suffer persecution. And I mean, for heaven's sake, it's nothing. There are people being crucified in other nations for the gospel. And we complain because somebody ignored us. I think we might need to grow up. Come on. Come on. Let's grow up. And let's be the church that Jesus wants. This jailbreaking anointing. This power that comes in from heaven. Let's begin to release what we have. And be that magnet to draw the power of heaven. Let's get rid of all offense in every season, in every time. Let's be ruthless with bad attitudes to people. Let's stop speaking negative about people. Your family. Some of you have got family members that really hurt you. Forgive them and bless them. Some of you have been hurt by people that have come into the church and out of it again. Bless them. Pray for them. 1, 2, 3. Bless them. I know you've been hurt. I know you've been rejected. But we're here for breakthrough anointing. Amen. And we're going to live for his way. And I want to live happy. So blessed is the man or woman who's not offended on account of me. And I believe that release of anointing will release more fruit next weekend. I said to the Lord, this is a strange message pre-gospel meeting, starting these gospel meetings. It's a bit odd. He said, yes, but there won't be any life released unless offense is dealt with. And I want the supernatural release for the lost. Let's stand.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.